Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It is Over Under 98.5, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshatz is here. No coronavirus on this show so far.
Not yet. Not yet. I mean, you never know, but not yet.
So the Ivy League canceled the Ivy League tournament that was going to be held in Boston this week, but no other tournament is canceled, Dan.
Yeah, no other tournaments canceled. Just a bunch of tournaments that might not be played with people. I believe the MAAC is being played without crowds. So I'm not surprised by that. I think we'll ultimately see, people from the actual tournament. I think we'll see actual tournament games played without crowds too. I think it's unfortunately come to that point where this thing is getting pretty big, and I unfortunately think that it's going to be something that is bigger than we all kind of hope for.
There's odds out there on will there be an NCAA basketball game played without crowds right now to pick them. There's also some NBA odds. Will there be NBA games play without crowds? That looks like it's going to happen. And, of course, in the NHL, California has already declared no crowds over 1,000. So that will probably happen at some point with San Jose Sharks games. So it's a big deal. I don't want to be sensitive to it, but at the same time, I'd love to see everyone kind of come together, and if something happens, then you have recourse or some sort of, some sort of answer from there. But again, it's bad. It's sports, Dan, and this is what this is what gets me away from the real world.
Yeah, I mean, again, unfortunately, it's part of it. So, it is what it is. I mean, what are you exactly gonna do about it? You have to deal with the hand that you're dealt, and this is kind of the circumstances for 2020. So hopefully, this will be it in 2020, and after that, we'll be good moving forward. Hopefully, again, it's just just this one year, but it sucks. Yeah. It sucks. I mean, losing a tournament like the Ivies, and again, I don't really like betting Ivy League basketball, so it's not a major loss for me personally. But just in general, cutting games, cutting options for bettors, especially in our position, that sucks.
Yep, and think of the people who go to Vegas every year, like yourself, around this time.
Not going this year.
I'm not saying that out of being selfish. Nope. I'm saying it out of, just people aren't traveling now, and the economy's bad, and the stock market sucks, and it's a big thing right now. It's a big thing, and I love sports, and I don't want the real world affecting my sports life. That's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree. Like, I go to sports to kind of get away from all this bullshit, and now, unfortunately, we're kind of stuck back into the bullshit. So, that sucks.
All right, so last week, Dan, I wanted to just, like, fire out plays. I was in the mood, did well, won, like, almost six units. Whatever, I'm happy. But this is a new week, and last night, BYU, St. Mary's, I don't know how that game landed in the 50s. I don't know how. BYU choke job, they haven't won now in 20 years, conference tournament. St. Mary's, though, has got a good player, Jordan Ford. And then, of course, there's the Gonzaga game tonight, but this will drop tomorrow, so we don't have to cap that. But the totals last night were interesting for me. I couldn't be on the right side of one. I got lucky on a Northeastern who blew it. Got lucky on one of those. But besides that, this is an interesting week when it comes to betting because there's conference championships. Sometimes some of these teams have seen each other for the third time this year. North Carolina being a 5.5-point favorite against a Virginia Tech team probably doesn't look like the right spread. I loved Northern Kentucky tonight, who's off to a big lead. And I don't know, I was kind of talked out of it. And, you know, I like Hofstra, even though you like Northeastern. So I'm sure we'll be having our eyes on that game, which is a 2-point game right now with under 6 minutes to go. So the more I watch this, the more I watch these lines, I think you do need to be careful this week and really pick spots. Don't just pick, like Manhattan-Fairfield, that game sucked. Manhattan didn't score for, 8 minutes? They won the game by 18 points.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I think a lot of these lines are very tight, and I think that if you end up, especially this week, betting the square sides, you're gonna get killed. I guess there were a few. I guess Hofstra was super square last night, covered, but for instance, Gonzaga was very square. BYU was super
BYU, square. BYU, that over was square, and I ran right into it.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I just want people to understand this is where you need to, you know, really pick and choose your lines. Like, I'm already regretting my St. Francis pick tonight. Not a fan of the play, and I wish I could have gone back and bought out, but obviously, gotta live with it. So I'm dealing with it right now.
A lot of these games are a tale of two halves, though. You know, we'll see what happens with St. Francis, but a lot of these teams first half look like, and then things change second half. You know, I couldn't believe North Dakota came back the other night. Like, there's just a lot of games, and on Sunday in particular, Dan, like the Big Ten games. You know, Maryland was senior day; they won. Sparty won. I think Illinois was down and then came back, right? So, you know, I'm interested to see that tournament. Maybe we'll kind of get into some tournament odds.
I figured we could probably go over all the futures for the tournaments as well. Pretty much focus on just college basketball this week. You know, there's obviously a lot going on. The Tom Brady stuff, obviously XFL. But I figured that this is going to be pretty much just college basketball for, you know, the next few weeks. And we'll kind of start really getting into baseball. I know people have asked me countless times, are we going to do a baseball preview podcast? Yes, I mean, we will. It's just, you know, we're
in the thick of March, Matt.
Me personally, I'm definitely not there yet.
We're in the thick of March Madness right now, like the thick of it.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you guys. For all those people who are caring about baseball, I don't care. I mean, right now, my biggest win total was the Red Sox under, and it's a small, very, very, very small bet for me. So,
all right, Dan, before we get into conferences, this pod will probably drop tomorrow, we assume?
Yes, drop Wednesday morning, so everyone Wednesday. Will have it for the games starting tomorrow morning.
Games start at 11:30 tomorrow.
So, yeah, the podcast will be out early, so I'm hoping to I might even put it out tonight and just make it public early tomorrow morning.
But, like, I already see dollar signs. Miami Clemson, St. Joe's George Mason, Utah Oregon State. Washington, Arizona, a Big Ten game, Northwestern, Minnesota. I'm interested just in that total in general because at 136, Minnesota scores points, Northwestern doesn't. I'm interested in St. John's, Georgetown. Oh, man, the Big East, right? You got Iowa, Oklahoma State. I mean, there, BC, Notre Dame, a rematch from a couple of weeks ago on a one-point buzzer beater by Notre Dame. Another bit, you know, Nebraska, Indiana. Like, there are a lot of games tomorrow. And, dude, like, I personally think that these last week and this week are more profitable than the actual NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly can be in certain situations. I want everyone to kind of understand you really need to be careful betting these games. Because, Joe, if you go too deep into it, and you learned this last year, if you go too deep and just too much, you're going to get your ass kicked. Because, you know, these games are hard. These are not easy games. So you need to be careful. And I think you need to pick spots. But I think that we, you know, people understand that by now. You know, it's basically have a Saturday slate for the next few days. So be careful. And, let's get into it. Joe, do you want to start with the lines for tomorrow or do you want to start with the conference futures?
I think conference is the way to go. There's too many games.
Okay. All right.
Really, the cap, but I think the one conference this year that's been interesting, and there's an early game tomorrow, is the ACC. Obviously, we got North Carolina playing Virginia Tech tonight.
Pittsburgh.
You know, this
Pittsburgh
is North.
Just beat Georgia Tech. Pittsburgh just beat.
Was it Wake Forest? But it was a close game all throughout. You know, 10 minutes to go in the game, it's tied at 41. But the ACC, nobody's wanted to win it this year. It landed on Florida State. Florida State actually the favorite to win the national championship right now, which they have a deep.
Whoops.
they same colors, right? That's what I do with Baylor Oregon. But the ACC, who wants it? Who wants it? Is it Duke that's the best team? Is Virginia in their big run? Who wants to be the ACC champion? Do you have a favorite right now?
Well, Florida State opened as the favorite, and I'll see if I can pull up the odds somewhere because right now they're currently off the board due to the fact that there's a few teams playing. Here's what I personally think in terms of, you know, if I'm taking them, I'll pull the ACC odds here so that we can kind of go over them. Obviously, they're going to shift a little bit because there have been some games that have already been played. So, Florida State opened at plus. No, hold on. And, of course, there you go. Okay. So, Florida State opened as the favorite at plus 200. They have now moved to plus 300. Currently, Duke is now plus 180. Louisville is plus 260. The Virginia Cavaliers are plus 650. Then we get into some big long shots. NC State is plus 3,000. Syracuse is plus 3,000. Notre Dame is plus 3,000. Clemson plus 6,000. North Carolina before tonight was plus 6,000. Miami plus 15,000. Virginia Tech, who is currently playing right now, North Carolina, is plus 25,000. So, you know, that looks like they're going to lose. Wake Forest.
What's NC State?
And as I said, NC State is 30-1, plus 3,000.
So, like, that's a team I'd look at. North Carolina, just off the bat, they need it. They have to win. If they don't win the ACC, they're not going to make the tournament. So, is it worth maybe riding them first couple of games? Probably.
Well, I think they're probably going to be shot at this point. They probably already started, so you definitely lost the best number there. No question about that. And especially if they win, their odds will probably be cut in half, I would assume. There's also BC, who is 50-1, and Pittsburgh is 51. Pittsburgh won tonight, so their odds probably be cut in half as well. I think, well, I would like to ride UNC, and maybe the refs will certainly help them because it's UNC, and I'm sure people are going to, I'm sure the ACC would love to get some good ratings. I really, really like, and my favorite value, I've actually already played it, was Virginia plus 650. I actually got it at plus 700. To me, Virginia has played recently the best out of all these teams. I'm not really high on Duke this year. Not really that surprised about that, because Duke has been, for the most part, a overrated, overhyped team that's basically gotten by on the fact that it's Duke. Another team, you know, probably, if they're talking about, you know, Texas there or something, you know, they're probably not rated as highly. Louisville has been really good. I think that they probably have a chance as well. I don't like Duke, especially as the favorite, plus 180. Just not enough value for the way that they played this year. I like Virginia, and obviously you guys already know my long shot if you've been listening to the podcast. I love NC State, so NC State at 30-1 is a play I think you have to make, Joe, even just for the value, some hedge value early in the first round. So to me, that's the way I'm looking at it, and that's the way I'm going about the ACC at the very least.
To me, it's Duke, Virginia, Louisville. NC State is a sleeper.
You like Florida State?
And Florida State. Sorry. I do like Florida. Florida State puts up a ton of points. They play like 11 guys. You know, when it comes to these tournament games, having that kind of depth is huge. Coaching's there. They have it. I think Duke's the square play, but they score the most points. They have some of the better players. Louisville, after losing to Virginia, I don't trust them. And just Virginia in general, I think they're a good team, but when they don't score, they struggle. So, you know, to me, the money's Duke. Florida State's your team on the rise, and then there are the NC States. I'm not sure if anybody on the bottom could rise. Clemson's had some big wins this year. So we'll see how that one plays out.
Yeah, I'd say Clemson probably has your best odds besides NC State to come out of there. Look, I like Florida State a lot. I think they're a really good team. I think that they have issues. I'd take Florida State over both Louisville and Duke. I just don't think you're getting good enough value with either of those teams. I think legitimately the best value on the board is with Virginia at 6.5-1 or 6-1. So you got early, got 7-1, great. I think they're still the best value on the board for the way that they've been playing as of late. You can always hedge off again as well. So I don't know. I think that would probably be the best value. I don't like Duke. I just there's not enough value there for me. So I think that's the way I go in the ACC. I think I'd roll Virginia and maybe look at Florida State and NC State. I'm definitely playing NC State, obviously. What other conference do you want to move on to?
Big East.
All right, Big East. So
right, Creighton, Villanova, Seton Hall. I mean, that's pretty much what you three-way at the top. There's, you know, tournament killers like Georgetown, and you know we know at the bottom it's Xavier and DePaul and teams like that. But you know Marquette's got one of the better players in the country. So I think Creighton's your favorite, right?
So actually, Seton Hall is the favorite right now at plus 250. Then it goes Villanova at plus 260. Creighton, who is missing one of their better players for the tournament, at plus 300. Mm. Providence at plus 500. Butler at plus 550. Marquette at plus 700. And Xavier at plus 1200. Georgetown at plus at 30-1. DePaul and St. John's all at 30-1. I'm sure you can probably find better value on those lower-rated teams elsewhere than 30-1, probably get 60-1 some places. Nonetheless, I think that this, to me, I think this is a four-team race. I think you're looking at Seton Hall, Villanova, Creighton, and I think Providence, because of the fact that the Big East tournament will be, you know, played locally. We'll have a big edge there. I love to include Butler there, but I just don't think they're good enough right now. Marquette is an absolutely fucking terrible road team. They're just not good. They're devalued. They're not worth it. I think that Marquette, in my opinion, is the worst value on the entire board. Xavier, I think, has times where they're good, but they're a much better home team. Georgetown, DePaul, St. John's have all been kind of trash this year. So to me, Joe, my pick in the Big East this year, I'm going Villanova plus 260. I bet you can probably find that around 280, 300 at some other sites. And my sleeper would be Providence at +500 or +600, depending on what local site. It looks like I have both 500 and 600. So that would be the ways that I would lead in the Big East. What are your thoughts?
Seton Hall. Seton Hall started 8-0. They were the best. They faded of late, right? They're a team that was so good so early on. That's the team I like. And then Butler. Nobody talks about Butler, but this is March, right? Generally, they're a team that people like to back around this time of year. Providence, I think, is a good story. That's where I think it's going to be played there, right? Am I mistaken? Whatever. But the Big East is going to be a battle. Like, that is going to be must-watch night in, night out. I think Creighton's the best team, but they lost one of their best players. Villanova plays to the spread, Dan. If we're talking bettors, man, do they either get beat by underdogs or they play right to the spread. They scare the hell out of me as far as a bettor goes.
That they have been playing, and again, they scared the hell out of me too. Remember, I told you I thought that they were in real trouble for a little while there, but they've been playing so well as of late. I think that they are going to be a legitimate threat in this tournament. If not the outright fave.
What other conference are you looking at?
Well, let's see. We have a bunch of other conferences. We might as well go through them. How about you want to do the Atlantic 10? We have.
Sure, I mean, it's Dayton, right?
Tomorrow. Dayton, obviously, the favorite at -210.
Yeah, I mean, who will beat that? This one's quick. Who's going to beat them? Davidson? No.
To me, I think your best value is with Richmond or St. Louis. Those would be the two teams I would look at for true value. Richmond was at 8-1 where I got it a few days ago. It's down to 5-1. I don't think that at 5-1 you can really find a lot of true value with Richmond. St. Louis is the other team that has the ability to stay with Dayton and beat Dayton. So, you know, at 13-1 for St. Louis, that'd be a team that I would potentially look at as well. You know, URI has played well, but I don't love them. And I think everyone else is kind of a little bit, you know, not talented enough to beat Dayton in a game like this. So to me, it's Richmond or it's St. Louis. You know, whichever you prefer or find the most value in. But, I mean, again, taking Dayton -210 to win the tournament probably isn't terrible because Dayton likely will be in the finals. And my guess is that they'll probably be a, you know, 250, 260 money line, I guess, and probably 7-8 points.
All right, let's do the SEC. I'm going to say Kentucky's your favorite.
SEC, Kentucky is the favorite at +180. Auburn follows them quickly behind at +280. Florida at +450. LSU at +550. Then it kind of drops off. We got Mississippi State at +900. Arkansas, Tennessee at 20-1. Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Missouri, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt round out the rest of the board at 30-1. To me, you probably get some better value in different spots there.
All right, so I like Auburn. They turned it around last week. They won a big game on the road at Tennessee. They look good. They have NBA players. They got a good coach. They were there last year. That's what I like. Florida could come out. I'm going Auburn in there.
Fair enough. I'm going to take the favor. I'm going to take Kentucky +180. Look, I like Auburn, but to me, they have put too many games where they can get upset, and I would not be shocked if they went down to one of the lesser sides. Florida outside of home, and even at home, can't beat a good team like Kentucky. The only sides I think have a chance, LSU I think has a chance at +450. I think that would probably be +550. I think that would be the other team I would look at is LSU. Although 5.5 is probably a little bit low for them. I'd be looking for something in the 6-7 range. The one long shot I'd take a look at is Arkansas at 20-1. Arkansas to me is still a very good team, and they have the potential to beat people. I know Tennessee probably would be that team for most people, but to me it's Arkansas. If you're looking for a long shot in the SEC, I'd go Arkansas. But to me, I like Kentucky to win the SEC tournament.
Give us the Big Ten, Dan.
Let me pull up. Yeah, I'm not actually sure if we have Big Ten odds yet, which is surprising. I lied. We do. Okay. Michigan.
It's got to be Michigan State.
Yep, we do. Michigan State is the favorite at plus 240. Maryland is second at plus 350. Then we get into some deeper odds. Whiskey at plus 700. Michigan at plus 800. Iowa at plus 850. Ohio State at plus 900. Illinois at 10 to 1. Penn State at 12 to 1. Rutgers at 14 to 1. Purdue at 17 to 1. Indiana 25 to 1. Minnesota, Nebraska, and Northwestern who are all not winning at 30 to 1.
So, if you ask me, I think Maryland's the most talented team. Sparty has the best coach, best point guard, Tillman, etc. Penn State's a sleeper.
Ugh,
with Jones
after last week, no way.
Yeah, I agree. They're a sleeper though. Wisconsin is good. I don't know what you're going to get from them. Garz is probably the best player in the conference.
Yeah, he's one of the candidates for player of the year. So, I mean, Garza would be, you know, if you're really looking for, you know, based upon individual players, you'd probably want to go Iowa there.
Michigan's got a shot.
Yeah, I think ultimately that Michigan State wins. I think they're really, really good. But I'm not taking them at 2.5 to 1. I'm looking at Michigan at 8 to 1 as some legitimate value. I think they are talented enough. Preseason, you know, number of top 5 team. They obviously have underperformed, but I think they're talented enough to at least get to the semifinals or the finals if you want to hedge there. And then the other team I would look at, if you want a long shot, is Iowa at 9 to 1. Iowa, again, we kind of just talked about player of the year with Garza. I think that they have been, you know, okay on the road, not great. Obviously, we've talked about how Big Ten teams are on the road this year. I think maybe if you want a real true long shot, maybe Rutgers at 14-1 would be not a terrible option. But just to me, hey, I think that it's going to be Michigan or Maryland in the finals, and you got to really choose a team that you think has a real chance to beat them. And I think you're looking at maybe Michigan or Iowa from the conference.
Any other big Pac-12 maybe?
Yeah, we can definitely go to the Pac-12. I think the Pac-12 is surprisingly top-heavy. I think, but there's legitimate value in the Pac-12 this year. Oregon is the fave at plus 175, followed quickly by Arizona plus 350 and Colorado plus 450. UCLA is fourth at plus 700. Here's where it gets interesting. Arizona State, USC, and Stanford are all 10-1. Washington is 25-1. Cal, Oregon State, Utah, Washington State are 30-1. Now, I think there's legitimate value on Oregon State, but because of how bad they've been on the road this year, I don't think you can really play it. USC, Stanford, and Arizona State are 10-1, and Washington at 25-1 almost seem like have to play teams because I don't think that Arizona, Colorado, or UCLA are very good, at least in my personal opinion. I'm not high on Arizona. I'm not high on UCLA. I'm okay with Colorado. I like Colorado, especially at home. I would not be shocked if you ended up seeing an Arizona State or a Stanford in the finals. And Washington has finally turned it on. 25-1 feels like extreme value for them.
One of the best players in the conference may be Trace Tinkle of Oregon State. So, like, there's talent here, definitely. USC is probably a sleeper for me. I don't like UCLA. They've lost a lot of players, but they're still, the 119 games this year. So that conference to me is Oregon or nothing, but I'm curious who can step up. The Big 12 is probably Kansas or nothing. You know, last year Texas Tech was the big sleeper, right? Yep. When it came to that division. So, you know, when I look at Big 12, it's Kansas, Baylor, and then who?
Yeah,
could West Virginia?
Kansas is -110 to win the Big 12 tournament, and the field is -110 as well. You know, Baylor at +250, Texas Tech 6-1, West Virginia 800. Oklahoma 12-1, Texas at 20-1, Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, TCU at 30-1. I don't think any of those teams have a legitimate chance. Texas as well, they're a borderline even conference, you know, even tournament team. To me, Joe, the one team that might have some value is Oklahoma at 14-1. I think Oklahoma has real value on that side. I don't think West Virginia or Texas Tech is good enough. I'm actually taking Kansas as minus 110 favorite here, but my long shot would be Oklahoma in the Big 12.
Sleeper for me would be West Virginia. 21 wins this year, very good. You know, they were good at home. That might have been what really helped them. But playing in a conference tournament, we'll see what happens there.
All right, the American. Houston is the favorite at plus 200, followed closely by Cincinnati plus 350, Wichita State at plus 350, Memphis at plus 600, Tulsa at plus 800, UConn at 10-1, SMU at 15-1, South Florida, Temple, Central Florida, ECU, and Tulane, all at 30-1. You could probably get better odds on the underdogs.
UConn, baby.
Yeah, I think UConn at 10-1 is a no-brain bet for the American.
Give me UConn and Memphis. Everybody else, they'll fall.
Yeah, I actually agree with you on this one. Cincinnati, to me, has not been impressive the past 3 weeks. Wichita State, after their nice midseason run, has absolutely crumbled back down to earth. Tulsa, to me, isn't a good team. SMU has been garbage on the road. The rest of the conference isn't very good. I think Houston will definitely make the finals. But Memphis and UConn both represent legitimate value to me. And I'm really surprised about the UConn price, especially 10-1. It's almost a price that they're suckering you into. But regardless, you don't have a choice. You got to take it, at least in my opinion. So, all right, Joe, the final two smaller conferences that we have, both starting Wednesday, Conference USA, and I'll just read this list quickly. North Texas and La Tech, Louisiana Tech, plus 180. Western Kentucky, plus 400. Charlotte, 12-1. FIU, 20-1. Old Dominion, 20-1. Marshall, 25-1. UAB, FAU, UTSA, UTEP, Rice, all 30-1.
Western Kentucky.
Yeah, to me, I think you're going Western Kentucky, plus 400, or North Texas at plus 180. But I don't think there's any real good value there. And
nothing.
And finally, the Big Sky tournament also starts Wednesday. Northern Colorado is your favorite at plus 180, followed closely by Eastern Washington at plus 240, Montana plus 350, Portland State at plus 600, Southern Utah plus 1200, Sacramento State at 17-1, Montana State at 25-1, and Northern Arizona, Weber State, Idaho, and Idaho State all round up at 30-1. To me, Joe, there's only one play in this conference, and that is Eastern Washington at 2.5-1. I think they should be the favorite in the Big Sky. Northern Colorado did not impress me this year. One sleeper I may take a look at would be Sacramento State, but to me, there's not a lot of value with the exception of Eastern Washington at 2.5-1.
Portland's won six in a row. Keep that in mind when it comes to tournament time. Besides that, though, yeah, Eastern Washington and Montana's had success in the past, but they've struggled heading into the tournament. So that's really all I got, Dan, for the tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of them, the odds, the tournaments have already started. So, I mean, that's pretty much what we have right now. Now, obviously, a lot of these tournaments start Wednesday. We have a ton of lines, Joe. So why don't we take a break here, and then let's start getting in the lines for Wednesday and even maybe take a look at Thursday's games as well, as a lot of those games are already up. No spreads yet, but a lot of the games are already up.
All right, we will discuss that coming up next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr. at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at over under 985.
It's over under 985, the podcast. We keep doing our live show Saturdays. I don't like how our bell is all of a sudden like our calling call. And you know what? Dan, I've noticed. I think people just like fast forward to hear the bell.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
All right. Well, maybe we take the bell out Saturday.
Well, the reason why I say it is because people are like, "Hey, you did this on the bell," and it's like, "Did you not hear my reasoning?" Like, it's like all you heard was the bell and the pick. No analysis, no. And the thing is, I like to give a pick, Dan, so someone can, like, look into it. Like, oh, hey, Joe or Dan likes this pick. Let's look into it. I don't know, man. I'm going to fade him. I know they like this, but, you know, hey, Dan likes St. Francis, but did you know that Oral Roberts has been the back-to-back? You know what I'm saying? Like, who you got? You know, like, we're going to get picks out, but at the same time, you can fade or follow them. We can't win them all. Nobody can win them all. If anybody ever said that they told you they win them all, they have that book from Back to the Future that Biff stole. Yep. So, but I this week in particular, I'm like giving out picks and it's like, did you not listen? Or like, I feel like they just went for the bell. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Well, we're not going to put a bell in this week. So simple as that. And, we're not going to put a bell in this week at all. So there you go.
Well, I'm not pitching. I'm just,
we'll see what happens without the bell.
We want you to get up at 7 a.m. so you can hear the picks.
Yeah. Hofstra, by the way, just went on a 9-0 run and are currently up 3 points.
Boom! Okay, can I give you a reason why? We discussed this off the air, Dan. I took Hofstra because they're the better team.
Yeah, I disagree.
All year long, they had the better record. I will say this, watching that first half, though, Northeastern plays better defense and has better shooters, without a doubt.
Here's what I'll say. I watched Hofstra last night. I thought they sucked. I thought they were lucky in that they faced a team completely on the off night and with a ref that was not kind to Delaware, to put it lightly. I thought they sucked. I didn't think they deserved to win at all last night. I think that they have been better tonight and they're still very close. So it's going to be an interesting game. Joe and I are, if you guys don't know, against each other in this one. I am on Northeastern.
And it sucks because Northeastern, you know, is a local team and we have tons of friends who went there, blah, blah, blah. And whoever wins goes to the tournament. But like, I like money and I think the better team is Hofstra. And you will find out what happens because that's why they play the game.
Yep.
But I will say that I do think that Hofstra was a poor shooting 3-point team. And to your point, Northeastern's a very good defensive 3-point team. So I saw that early on in the game.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyways, let's dive into Wednesday's slate. And we'll just start early. I'll kind of go over some spreads and see what you like here. Sacramento State versus Weber State. Weber is a 5-point dog right now versus Sacramento State. So that is where we start with the conference tournament at 11:30 tomorrow morning, Joe. 11:30 Wednesday morning.
Oh, well, I will be up. I will be dabbling. Okay. The question is who you got?
I have no real lean in that game. At least to start as of right now. Total of Alabama is 129. To move on to the nooner, Clemson is a 3-point favorite over Miami. Total of that one set at 132. I know you're going to like Clemson here, but.
Yeah, no, but I guess I have something here. Miami of late, like they got their asses handed to them by Duke, by North Carolina. Like I watched, like they were just sisters of the poor, you know? But remember that Virginia game last week? They were -2. Game finished at 2 points. Happened again this week where they covered. You know, I like Clemson because they were a good home team. That's really it. And obviously, I don't know where's the ACC now? I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
No, okay, so maybe that fares Clemson a little bit there.
Yeah,
but,
definitely does.
This is a toss-up. To me, this is a toss-up. I should probably look at, you know, what the trends were during the regular season. I actually have been doing that a lot lately when it comes to totals. So, for example, the last time BYU and St. Mary's played, the total was like 160. They had 102 points total last night. So, does it matter all the time? No. It really doesn't. Trying to get my trends. My computer sucks. I can't get it. But for me, I probably would lean Clemson here, but just for the last week or so, I will tell you that against the spread, Miami's been very good.
They're both 4-6 in their last 10, but Miami has been better. Right now, there is no official spread in the NC State-Pittsburgh game. That starts at 2 o'clock. I'll tell you this. That game, Pittsburgh had to play the entire game. Up until the final 3 minutes when they started really pulling away versus Wake Forest. He was a battle-tested game. They lost their starting point guard who was hobbled with a rolled ankle. I'll just say this. I would dare to say that I would make NC State a 5-point favorite tomorrow. And again, neutral site, but I like NC State. You guys know that. So I would look at NC State. Maybe we'll take them tomorrow. All right, starting at 3 o'clock, this is an interesting one, the SEC, Joe. Utah, a 2.5-point dog versus Oregon State. This is an interesting one to me because I think you're going to see a lot of people really like Utah tomorrow, right?
So the reason why is because Utah played that overtime game last week. Who was that against? They played that overtime game. They played very well. Oh, it was Colorado. They beat them, I think. Yeah. Dude, the kid Tinkle from Oregon State's awesome. He's really good. He's like a 4 maybe. Probably play the 3 in the NBA, but the guy can shoot. He's their best player. They're a decent squad, Oregon State. Tough. Tough. I don't know.
Both teams have been very poor on the road this year. Utah 1-10 on the road. Oregon State just 3-8. Utah 3-2 in neutral site. Oregon State 2-1. So pretty even there. I lean Oregon State here. I like their size, and I think that they're probably the better of the two teams. You know, I think you're going to see this one get to 3, 3.5 at the very least before tip tomorrow. Maybe my thoughts will change, but Oregon State probably should be at least a 3-point favorite in this one, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's 2.5 right now. I think the number's right. You know, the one I'm looking at is Arizona, Washington. I'm out on Washington. I think they suck. I think they're terrible. But Arizona in their last 10 hasn't been good, and they've been 4-6 against the spread in their last 10. Arizona's a better team than Washington. Arizona is a better team than Washington. Arizona is a better team than Washington. Washington, in my opinion, stinks.
I think Arizona is a better team, but they are definitely not more talented than Washington. Washington absolutely has more talent than Arizona this year. Now, Arizona is played collectively better. They have not been great, but I believe they're probably going to be good enough to make the tournament. Right now, Arizona's 4.5-point favorites, Joe, opened at 4. Got anything for this one? I assume you're going to lean Arizona.
It's Arizona for me. You know, I hate Washington. I'm so out of... Arizona at one point was, what, ranked in the top whatever. They've struggled of late. Maybe they're fading. Maybe that's what it is. Washington are already faded, in my opinion. So, to me, I don't love the points, but I think Arizona wins the game.
Interesting. I would tend to lean Washington with the points, but I am not going to fall into that hole. To be just perfectly honest with you, I think I would probably stay away from that. Some pretty interesting games to start. Some smaller conference games. 3:30, we got Fordham at George Washington. Fordham versus George Washington.
Oh, God. George Washington.
Idaho it's State taking on Northern Arizona.
Idaho State sucks. They're terrible. Idaho State is so bad they lost to Idaho. They're so bad. So give me the NAU team.
Northern Arizona.
Yeah, give me them big. Big.
PP big?
Yes.
Okay. So PP Northern Arizona for Jones.
Nobel. Nobel. And sorry, I just wanted to bring this up. Northwestern plays Minnesota tomorrow. The total is 136. Normally, Dan, this would be an under. Okay? Normally. Minnesota dropped 100 points the other night. They can score.
Yeah, they can. This is a Northwestern team that likes to play with that does not like to play with pace. Not saying that they actually like to play anything because they're really not a very good basketball team. But in general, the total is probably low because Northwestern is not an offensive guru. So, you know, they're going to be a slower paced team with lesser points because of that. Obviously, the total is going to be lower.
Damn.
So, we can start on that one. Minnesota is 8.5-point favorites versus Northwestern. I think that's high. I don't think Minnesota is a very good team this year. I think that 8.5 is probably high for Minnesota. 6 p.m., we have Texas A&M CC taking on Northwestern State. That is a pickup. I got nothing for you there. 7 o'clock when the evening starts, we have St. John's taking on Georgetown, and that right now has no current spread that I have seen anywhere, at least. If I'm wrong, let me know. 7 o'clock also, Iowa State takes on Oklahoma State. Right now, Oklahoma State is a 5-point favorite versus Iowa State. I think, to me, this is a spread that is going to get to 7 or 8 at the very least. Oklahoma State, to me, is a decent enough road team. Iowa State has been one of the worst road sides in the entire country. 0-11 on the road this year, and just 1-2 in neutral site games. So give me Oklahoma State -5 PP.
Oh, if this was like college football, yeah, I could never fade Iowa State. Like Minnesota played Iowa State. Was it Iowa? Yeah, Minnesota played Iowa State in the I forget it was one of the bowl games, and I just like I could I'm afraid to fade Iowa State. I'm like one of those guys. Just they scare me in general. Did you mention BC Notre Dame?
I have not. We won't get there. Also in the 7 o'clock slate, Florida Atlantic versus Old Dominion. Old Dominion a 2-point favorite over Florida Atlantic.
I like Florida Atlantic.
So I actually disagree. I am going to say I am actually going to PP Old Dominion -2.
Ooh.
Florida Atlantic to me again incredibly overrated by their home field, their home court, I guess you'd say, status. To me, they're not actually a very good team. You know, they 2-12 on the road this year. They can't win on the road. Old Dominion was 13-18 and had more road wins. Give me Old Dominion. And I think this is a pretty decent, the spots are all very similar because most of these teams haven't played in the next amount of days and whatever, yada, yada, yada. So I like Old Dominion there. 7:30, we have Rice, Florida International. Joe, I got nothing for that one.
Nothing.
FIU is a 2-point favorite. Okay. We have Colgate. -7 versus BC, and this one is at Colgate.
Wait.
So the conference tournament.
BU.
BU. Yes, apologies. BU at Colgate.
Okay. This is a hell of a game. If you're a local, this is a hell of a game. So it's Colgate for me. And Colgate, didn't they make the tournament last year?
They did, and they are 25-8 and 15-1 at home this year.
Yeah, it's Colgate. Now, BU might be the more experienced team, better recruits, this and that. Colgate's program is on the absolute rise. Like, football, all you name it. They're on the rise, especially in basketball. Now, I already looked at it. Some of the money's already in on BU getting 7 points. Went from 6.5 to 7. It's Colgate for me. They win. Do they cover? That's a good one. I think Colgate wins.
I think Colgate will ultimately win that game.
And I don't think Colgate's played a team like ABU. You know, a team that's consistently, you know, conference winner and potentially in the tournament every year. So, but Colgate's got swag, right? They're a good team. Like, there's no doubt about it. You know, I'm gonna circle this game. I think 7 points a lot for Colgate, but it's gonna be a good one. Going to watch.
We're at 8 o'clock. We have App State going to Texas State. No current spread. I'll tell you this. I like Texas State to win that.
Yeah, watch App State lose.
In a small future, and then Texas State might win their tournament there. 14-3 at home. That'll be a home game for them in the conference tournament. We have a neutral site game at 8:25. Joe in the Big Ten. Nebraska versus Indiana. Indiana, yeah, okay. 12.5 point favorite.
It's too many points at home, but everyone's been beating Nebraska's ass, so it's probably the way I'd lean on that one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Indiana and the points. Not that I love it, but I do think that I would lean that direction. All right, Joe, here's one that I don't think you'll have a ton of input on, but I certainly like a team here. 8:30, McNeese State. On the road, or I guess a neutral site game versus Lamar, McNeese State is a 1 point favorite. Neither of these teams have played a neutral site game. Both have the exact same home record, 10-5.
To me, Lamar is the better team.
I think Lamar is slightly the better team, but I am going with McNeese State. So PP, McNeese State -1 versus Lamar. I think McNeese State is probably the better neutral court team. I actually made them a 3-point favorite. And I will take them at 1 point favorite. All right, Joe, 9 o'clock. We're getting to some of the real teams here. Cal takes on Stanford. Stanford is a 9.5 point favorite.
Give me Cal +10.
You like Cal on that side. Interesting. I really don't know where to go on this one, honestly. I think that 9.5 is pretty much spot on for how I feel about those teams. 9 o'clock, Joe. Kansas State, a 1.5 point dog versus TCU.
Ugh, TCU had that collapse the other night.
Massive collapse to Oklahoma, Joe. What are your thoughts on
It's TCU. Kansas State stinks.
Okay, so you like TCU. By the way, the total in that one, 127.
Over.
Okay. All right, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, 9:15. I like the under in the Kansas State.
But TCU, well, isn't Arkansas like the hottest team right now?
What's up?
Wasn't there some trend about Arkansas recently?
I don't know. They are 3-7 in their last 10. They have really struggled down the stretch here. Early in the season, they were definitely a really good team. Arkansas, 8.5 point favorite versus Vanderbilt. I think we're going to end up seeing the sharps on Vandy here, just due to the fact that I think that Arkansas has struggled so much down the stretch. But I would lay the points with Arkansas here. I think they're going to win this game by double digits pretty easily, actually. What are your thoughts there? Okay. All right, moving on. We have neutral.
I mean, really, for the rest of the night, Dan, it's DePaul Xavier, right? People are probably going to bet that game. It's Xavier to me. I know Xavier's been hot as of late. I don't care about Marshall and UTEP unless you do.
I don't have anything for Marshall UTEP, although I do. UTSA UAB, I think, is an interesting one due to the fact that it's a neutral site game and UAB has struggled there. I think 11:30, Joe, is actually a more important game than DePaul Xavier. We don't have a spread for yet. Washington State is a 9-point dog to Colorado. To me, I think you have to lean Washington State with the 9.
Okay.
I mean, Colorado, we know how Colorado is.
Colorado's good.
They are away from home. And as a non-home team, I would certainly tend to lean Washington State here, who did struggle on the road. But, you know, I do think that they're an okay side. Moving on to Thursday slate, Joe. And again, we don't have any spreads for this, so we'll go a little bit quicker. 12 o'clock open up with VCU UMass. And then the big Big Ten game, Michigan Rutgers. I think that is a monumental game in the tournament because you are seeing two really good teams face off. I think whoever wins this game probably, you know, has a really good chance of making it pretty deep in that tournament, Joe.
Yes. And I love the Thursday of conference tournament week. It's, I think, because it's obviously a week away from when the conference starts. And you mentioned Michigan, Rutgers, VCU, UMass. Dude, Ohio went on a run last night. You know, I saw them win last night in the MAC. Texas Tech. I mean, Texas has been disappointing for a while, right? Texas Tech, we thought, was going to at least hang around. Tennessee should beat Alabama. UCF, right? I mean, they've turned it around. They've been really good. And then you get that great Butler-Providence game that day. So I think early on, up until 2:30, you get some really good games, and not to mention UConn at 3:00.
Yeah, 2:30 to me, Butler-Providence is going to be a massive, massive fucking game, especially in my opinion. We'll see Miami-Ohio take on Northern Illinois, 2:30. Okay, 3 o'clock, Joe, we have a game that most people would not give a fuck about. Chicago State takes on New Mexico State, right? Chicago State has been a fade all year, one of the worst teams in the country, easily. They also canceled their final two games and have not played since February 29th. New Mexico State recently at least played 5 days ago. They won a big rout. But Chicago State has not played since February 29th, so 10 days by Thursday, that will be 12 days, so basically almost two weeks. I would lean under first half just due to the fact that Chicago State has played nothing this week. I mean, straight up, no games in the past 12 days. I would look at that for a potential under there. 3 o'clock, we got a really good one, Joe. Actually, a rematch of a game that just happened a few days ago. Tulane-UConn. UConn beat them, but it was a closer game than you would hope, especially for UConn. We have Cal State Fullerton taking on CSU Northridge. Northridge has been really good in that tournament, in that conference. Montana State, Portland State, UC Riverside, UC Santa Barbara. Kansas City takes on Grand Canyon. LaSalle Davidson, Morgan State, Bethune-Cookman. Then we finally get to some big games here, Joe. Purdue, Ohio State at 6:30. Toledo, Bowling Green, and Missouri, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Anything in that Purdue game?
Well, Purdue's not at home, so I already fade them. Let me just look here. Purdue. Well, Ohio State, right? I mean,
I would expect Ohio State to advance in that game.
They have to win that game. But again, Purdue went to the Final Four last year, right?
Yes, they did. And again, they had guys like Carson Edwards, and I think the team was obviously very different. But they're experienced, and, you know, that does mean something.
I think Ohio State's way too talented to not win this game against Purdue.
They are, but let's also not forget that Ohio State has probably been the most disappointing team, including Caleb Wesson, who has been
the most disappointing team, talent-wise,
maybe in the whole country this year outside of UNC. All right, yep. Starting at there's some other games, 7 o'clock, Temple versus SMU. That's actually 8 o'clock, and a huge one. Coppin State, Norfolk State, Kent State, Ball State, Long Beach State, UC Irvine. Finally, we get into some big games. West Virginia takes on Oklahoma in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. Big fucking game here. West Virginia, obviously, outside Morgantown, not remotely the same team outside Morgantown. So that will be interesting, obviously. I don't know. Do you have anything for that one, Joe?
I do not.
We have CSU Bakersfield taking on Texas Rio Grande. Quinnipiac versus Monmouth. Utah Valley versus Seattle. Another one of those games I look for an under because neither of those teams have played in 12 days. The Degenerate Special, again, also Utah Valley at Seattle versus 11:30. UC Davis versus Hawaii at 11:30, Joe. So there's your two Degenerate Specials for Thursday night. And then finally, to wrap up Thursday, at 9:30, we have Marquette taking on Seton Hall and Eastern Carolina taking on Memphis. You have anything for the Marquette-Seton Hall game, Joe? Because I know you love Marquette. You rode Marquette heavily last year.
Well, I like Howard. Right. That's it. I don't know if the Twins are there anymore. But, No, I just think that Marquette, for as much... They have the best player, though. They have the best player. I think that's really what it comes down to for me. But I'd probably fade them in that situation.
All right, we'll have to take a look at the spreads for Thursday, but obviously went over all the Wednesday games, went over all the conference futures that we have available to us on the board. Joe, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into questions from the listeners?
I think we should maybe look at a bracket next week. Maybe fill out a live bracket on the air.
I like that. We can do an over-under 985 bracket. And maybe we'll have the listeners do a bracket as well and see how they do, against us. You guys who have a radio show on Saturday mornings and, whatever. We'll see how they do. All right. Questions for the listeners, Joe. Question from Jack Mack. Regarding the legalization of sports gambling in Massachusetts, what can we do to help make this year a reality? You always hear the expression, write your congressman. If you want something to change, thanks, you guys. Let me know.
I'll tell you this much. Today is March 10th, and I have many friends who live in New Hampshire who received a ballot in the mail today to make sports betting legal in towns like Salem, which is right next to Massachusetts. Towns like Seabrook, New Hampshire, Hampton, right along those coastlines. So today was the vote, and I think we'll know soon if that has passed. So most of sports betting has been legal in New Hampshire. You can actually use the app or the DraftKings app, which is a big promoter of our show. So right now you can do that. But Dan, there's only one place in New England, I believe, that you can drive to sit down and bet on a game. And I believe that's Twin River, right? So if this passes, you'll be able to go to places like the Brook and Seabrook and sit down and place bets. You'll be able to go to, who knows, Hampton Beach Casino at some point and place bets. So today is huge for that because it's right over 95, right? Right over 95. I think it's easier to get to than Rhode Island, and don't get me wrong, I love them, the sponsors of our station or whatever. Massachusetts, I think, is going to take some time, and I think there'll be some restrictions like college sports, which I think has already been discussed. Once it becomes legal, Dan, it's going to be better for us. We're going to be able to talk about it. They'll promote it more on all the sports stations and on television. It's something that's gonna take a little bit of time here, but I think 2020 is the year.
All right, Joe. Question from our buddy Bill: how much stock do you place in neutral site records when capping a tourney game? Do you base picks the same as you do during the regular season? So obviously, home court advantage to me is obviously a big thing. You guys saw it took a lot of home teams this year. Just was a much easier spot than normal, at least in my opinion this year. I don't look at the neutral site games for the most part because they were, 2-3 months ago.
Yeah, they could have been the Maui Classic around November.
Yeah, so just not a ton of stock in those games, at least in my opinion.
But I do think it's worth, Dan, just indicating that, we talk about teams that struggle on the road, right? Like Purdue this year doesn't shoot well on the road. So we just talked about a conference tournament game. They play Ohio State. Maybe Purdue does play up to Ohio State's level and can shoot lights out. But besides that, these teams that struggle on the road when they play at a neutral court, I think you have to use that as a road game, not as a neutral site game.
That That's fair. All right. Question from Andrew. With all the use in analytics and computer models to get an advantage on Vegas, do you guys have any websites or specific models you use to help you when deciding what bets to place? I build my own model. So, nope. I don't have any specific help for you. I would look at Bet Labs. If you have never built a model before, you should start with learning how to build models. And then you can figure out how to go there. But there is no specific model that people will share. I mean, if people have a model, 95% of the time, they're not going to share it. So,
Dan, I got a little rant quickly about this. Just do your own research and make a damn pick, right? Look at it. Just look at it. Look at the play in the spot and say, does this look right? And make a bet, will ya? Like, my projections say this. Great. If you do projections, awesome. You have the time to do it. Statistically, you go by it and you live by it. Right? Is that most why people make those things, Dan? Is because this is what their model says. They live and die by their model. Yep. Right? It's like baseball and war. It's like all this shit. For me, when it comes to betting is, who do I like tonight? Why do I like it? Is it too square? Why are we doing this? For example, I like the Celtics tonight. What's the score of the Celtics game?
I think they're
I don't even know. I'm not watching. Okay, whatever. Celtics were -3 tonight. The reason why I like the Celtics -3 tonight was because I know Oladipo, and I know that they had some injuries tonight. They're up 93-78. They're kicking their ass right now. But the Celtics have come off a couple of bad losses. They lost 4 of the last 5, 4 in a row at home. They're playing a playoff team. They're still without Jaylen Brown. They have the Bucks on deck. They needed this win tonight. 3 points on the road to me looked like a good value for the Boston Celtics because of where they're at right now. And -3, I would scoop those points up. That's why I bet it. It had nothing to do. I didn't even look at the Pacers, Dan. I just looked at it as Celtics. -3, Milwaukee on deck, lost 4 out of 5. Going on the road, they should win this game against a playoff team by more than 3 points. And boom, I know it's early still in whatever third, fourth quarter, but just make your own pick, your own judgment. If you got a model, you got to live by that model. Sometimes you got to fade spots. Sometimes if it just doesn't look good enough, it didn't. And we talked about this last week, but that stupid Drake game, right, against Northern Iowa, that was a gimme second half. Northern Iowa was going to come back and win that game. That was the squarest bet in the world. And in March, that's generally what you do. I faded that. I won. I faded the spot. It wasn't because I was right. It was because I faded the spot. Sometimes you just got to grow some balls and make a pick. And it's just, sometimes you got to do it yourself. If we put a pick out there, you can fade it. You can follow it. But at least when you, if you're going to bet, at least put some of your own input and energy into it.
Yeah, I mean, I listen. I do get what you're saying. I understand that. I think models statistically have a long-term chance of success in certain situations. And if you make certain models a type of way, you're able to predict long-term success in better than just fading spots or looking at past trends, in my opinion. So I think you can go both ways. I think everyone can do their own different thing, and that's fine. But if you haven't built a model and you're asking where you can, what model to use, then, I mean, clearly you have a long way to go in figuring out what you're looking for in terms of building anything or kind of like what you're looking for in terms of usage. So, you know, your model can be like literally just trends, I guess, you know?
Yeah, yes. All I'm trying to say, Dan, is that I had some guy email. I've been losing my ass. I need your picks tonight. Like, dude, hey, man, I've been hot too, but I went 1-4 last night. You know what I mean? Like, it's one day. It didn't work out last night. I'm going back to the drawing board today. You know, yeah. Like it's not a fucking crystal ball. Sorry.
All right. Question from Kevin. Love the show. Keep up the good work. I know Joe likes second half plays, but notice you guys don't have a bunch of first half sides or totals. Do you just not post those things, or do you see less value? Very simple, Kevin. People, when you watch the game, you're able to determine and see more of the game than you are just, you know, sitting on your ass and hoping, you know, you hit something in the first half. I think first half is, again, something where you can find value, but I think you have to really, really look for value. I think that it's a lot harder to find value in, you know, first half plays because, and again, this is just my personal opinion, because determining how a team will play out of the gate, to me, is tougher. Now, maybe not to you, but to me, it's tough. So,
well, talk about Christmas Day, Dan. Remember Christmas Day, there was what, that first quarter, what was it, the under, or what was it? Remember the one we talked about that?
What do you mean, like the first half unders?
What was the trend on Christmas that we
yeah, were first about? First half and first quarter
unders. First half. Yeah, first half, first quarter unders. It's only because it's a certain day of the year that happens often.
Right.
So that's why you play.
Right, yeah, I mean, again, it all kind of comes down to how you do things. So I don't like first halves. I'm not good at first halves, so I'm going to stay away. Pretty much, pretty simple.
Yeah, me too. I like second halves.
And again, we're good at, Joe is good at second half, so. No.
Well, we did it last week, right? What game was it that we handicapped the second half last week, and it hit?
The Celtics game.
Celtics, that's right. They were going for what? Their 12th in a row of going over in the second half, and we explained it. If you want to go back to last week's podcast, we'll explain to you why we did what we did and why we thought it would go under. It went under.
Yep, I agree. All right, question from Brian. I started with about $150 and have grown it to almost $500 on bets from anywhere $5 to $20. How do you tell which games you should wager more on, those you should not? Pretty simple. Which game you like, if you really like a game, you bet more on it. If you like it a little bit less, you bet less on it. Okay.
And I'd just like to bring up, what's a unit? He said 5 to 20 games. So $5 would be one unit, $10 would be two units, $15 would be three units, $20 would be four units, $25 would be five units. Okay.
All right, JC, question from JC, love the pod and what you guys do. Why no more hockey players from me? Because my NHL model has sucked this year. So I'm not going to give out players that aren't doing well. Pretty simple. All right, question from Tim. Any chance you can do a small segment on NHL futures playoff predictions? Here's my playoff prediction. It's a fucking crapshoot in the NHL. Trying to predict the NHL right now is borderline stupid. I don't know any sharp people who absolutely like to actually take positions on futures at this time, and I would straight up tell you that if you do, you're going to lose your ass. Bad idea. Here's what I'll tell you. Everyone likes the Bruins. Everyone likes the Lightning, right? That's what everyone wants to bet. You're not going to hear that from me. So if you guys are looking for, I'm going to take the fucking square side, you're not going to hear from me. I don't like that.
And if you listen to last week's show, I said Philadelphia is hot right now. They've won 9 in a row. They're the hottest team at home in hockey. Playing the Bruins tonight, I don't know what the score is right now. But either way, we know how the Bruins play late in games, giving up shorthanded goals and things of that degree. So let's see what happens there. And then, again, in the Western Conference, I think we've liked Colorado all year long. So outside of just who we like, outside of the Bruins and the Lightning and even the Blues in the Western Conference, we've given you some outside
teams. Yeah, it's just this time of year, there's no value. There's no value.
Yeah. Hey, and at the beginning of the year this year when we did our NHL preview with Ty Anderson, I liked the Toronto. So where'd that get me?
Exactly. So all right, moving on. Question from Tarp. For the total in the Houston-Minnesota game tonight was 250. And they were trying to figure out why the total, I guess, was 250. I don't know. There's no real question.
You know what? That's actually interesting. It's one of the higher totals I've seen in a while. Houston basketball?
Yep.
See, that must be tomorrow, right?
No, it's tonight.
I don't see that. I don't see it tonight.
Houston versus the Rockets versus the T-Wolves, yep.
Oh, okay, I see it here. You have 249.5 is what it closed at. It's 40-37 right now in the second quarter. So what's that, 77? Oh, yeah, that thing. Why is it so high? Good question. It's actually trending under right now. I would have went under, Dan. 250? Now, normally when I see a high spread like that, just like the XFL last week, we had the lowest spread of the year, and I went under, it went over. But normally, when I see a high spread like that, I go over. But the way it's trending right now, you might want to get a second half bet in and go under.
Yeah, I actually would have gone over.
Yeah, because of the number. Not because of the teams.
Because of the number and the team. So, by the way, Hofstra is...
Well, all right, yeah, okay, Hofstra's all right, I'll give you that. Away
from Northeastern here, up 8, about to be up 9.
Well, listen, and Dan, this is where I was going with it. Yesterday, Elon made a huge comeback against Northeastern. Northeastern had a cover ready to go. They gave up a layup late in the game. Elon covered. But Elon had 19 points, I think, at the half. I had the over in the game. Somehow the second half over was 69.5. It landed on 70. Northeastern's played how many games in a row now? That's what I said to you. Just based off what I saw last night, tired legs, and I think we've seen it. And not to mention Northeastern played so well in that first half, but they had a 2-point lead. Hey, there's still plenty of time left. I know they're pulling away. But tournament time, this is the shit you got to watch, is teams that get tired legs. You know, Dan, this is the anniversary of the Kemba Walker step back where they've won 3 games in 3 days, you know, in that Big East tournament.
Yeah, I understand that. To me, Hofstra has been literally just, to me, Northeastern has been getting fucked by the refs in the second half. nine fouls to 3 fouls, and they've been playing very similar basketball.
Ah, the wrangle.
So again, it feels like the refs have loved Hofstra 2 nights in a row. Like really, really love them. I don't know why, but Hofstra is just hot from three right now. They're burying everything. They're going to win this game easily, blowing away. So,
hey, real quick, I know this is this is going to drop tomorrow, but I know we got questions. I'd love to talk about this game and find out the next day. But St. Mary's Gonzaga, right? St. Mary's is... Dan, I thought they were tired yesterday. Hey, the fact that it was 50 points shows they were tired. They got the Zags today. You faded the Zags yesterday against the spread. You hit. Now they're 9-point favorites tonight against St. Mary's. I love the 9 points. But the legs, the discussion we just talked about. 3 games, 3 days. Conference tournament final. Over under 143. Like, these teams generally go over 143. How much do the tired legs mean? And is that why Gonzaga has the high spread? Because maybe they're going to pull away late.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that generally talent usually wins out, so I would say that that would be the case. And St. Mary's is just not remotely as close to as talented this year. So that, you know, that's something else to look at. But I mean, you never know, man. St. Mary's needs the win to get into the tournament, and Gonzaga does not. So, you know, there's also all sorts of motivation factors and stuff like that. You know, St. Mary's automatically makes the tournament, then get in. Gonzaga does not.
Okay. Again, I would go over, but those tired legs scare me. Anything else, Dan, when it comes to... I know there's some questions. Maybe we can wrap it up here, but the Tom Brady odds are, what, 130 now? They're a 170 when we did the show on Saturday. And thanks to Whale Capper for coming on. He did a great job, Whale_Capper. This Brady stuff, and dude, I've been doing middays with former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak, who I think is tied in a little bit. But the Patriots are now riding the Stidham train. Ah, Stidham, he's got this. And now Tennessee's like, we're going to go with Ryan Tannehill. So it's like, all right, how many teams are actually in on Tom Brady?
Can I be perfectly honest with you? And I've heard numerous people talk about why they think the market's so bad for Brady. I don't think it's bad for Brady at all. I think the reason the market sucks for Brady is because he's made his decision months ago. And I think that there's no market for Brady because he already knows where he's going. And I think that while things are always fluid and you're always, you know, open to changing your mind, I think there's no market for Brady because he already has a destination in mind where he wants to go, and there's no real need to do anything.
Well, everything's been pushed back now. So the franchise tag moves to Monday, and then midnight, 12:01, is the tampering period. So, Dan, we're going to get selection Sunday on Sunday. Monday, we're going to have the brackets come out, and it's the tampering period. We're going to have March, literally, March Madness. going down on Monday and Tuesday next
week.
Well,
you know, I hope so.
And then
so.
The games start Thursday.
I hope so, because, I mean, it's I think that the NFL is going to take a backseat to a lot of the bracket stuff right now. And especially with the way, you know, everything, these tournaments are kind of shaking out and everything.
Yep. All right, any more questions now for
that's
you,
it.
Dan? And listen, I just wanted to say this one last thing. There were some picks I gave out on the show last week. I just want to throw this out there. We got an hour, Dan, and I made two mistakes. One of them was I mentioned the Roughnecks -4.5. They were -12.5. It was just I screwed up the teams. So some people just call, hey, Joe, the Roughnecks aren't 4.5. The show's an hour, and I made a mistake. So I'm owning that one. And then I think I said go under on the UFC fight, and I picked over. I think I just made a mistake, Dan. Because I thought that would go the distance and Adesanya would win. I just wanted to make that clear that I'll own it. But we only get an hour show. We're trying to fill a lot in. We had a guest. And I made two errors. So hopefully I hope people didn't go the wrong way on those bets.
Yep. Hopefully. I didn't hear anyone who did. I mean, we figured it out. It was pretty straightforward afterwards. So.
Yeah, and listen, sometimes there might be something we like at 7 a.m. and it changes at the fight started at 12:55 the next day. So we gave the pick out at 7 a.m. So, I mean, yeah, over 3.5 rounds, it looked pretty good to me at, I don't know, 1 in the morning or whatever it was. So I just wanted to bring that up in case anybody was like, oh, I'm trying to use this. Dude, we got an hour show. We're trying to cram a bunch of shit in and... That's what happens sometimes, so I'll own it.
Yep. All right, anything else?
And just last thing is what I've been doing here is I've been playing 1.5 units per game. Dan, normally my unit size is 5 to... Well, how do I explain
this?
I usually do like a... 5 to 10 unit plays. Most of my second halves are half units, but I'm doing 1.4. I'm doing 2.5 units. So I'm doing that per game to kind of just have more plays and making less amounts, where instead of the bigger amounts. So what I'm doing during this conference tournament is, oh shit, you know, we lost St. Francis, but you know, we're gonna hit Hofstra, so we lose 25. But you know, we lose $25 instead of $250. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of, so I'm doing that approach as we head into March Madness because, you know, we won in college football. I want to win in college basketball. And then I want to bankroll and dabble during baseball season. The NBA playoffs, dude, I'm going hard, right? Because in my opinion, there's four teams. There's four teams. And I think we discussed that, if anybody missed that, this week. We had a good discussion around the NBA with Whale Capper. So, Dan, I don't know, do you agree there's maybe four teams that have a shot to win it in the NBA?
I think that there's probably six teams, just because the East is so wide open. I think you have the Lakers, I think you have the Clippers, I think you have the Celtics, I think you have the Heat.
The Bucks,
I think you have the Sixers.
Okay, I agree. I agree with that. And that's why when those playoff matchups happen, Dan, I want to hammer. I want to hammer.
I'll be right there with you.
And I'll be honest, right now, I think it's the Lakers or Clippers that are going to win. That's my opinion. But I think one of those two teams are going to win it, and I'm ready. I'm going to be swinging that hammer, kid.
I'm ready. All right, that is it. It's 9 o'clock. I'm sitting in the burning heat of my my top floor, and I'm ready to be done. So,
hopefully,
we've gone over everything. We've answered your questions this week. Hofstra won the game by 9, so Joe Murr wins the head-to-head matchup versus me this week after I won last week.
I'm not gloating about it. It's just I just think that the teams they ran out of gas, Dan.
Yep. So. I won a couple weeks ago. He wins this week. It's a back and forth battle that will never end. So, anyways, that's all we got for this week, Joe.
That's all we got today. March Madness is upon us. Tune in to Thursday, Toucher and Rich, for another degenerate play that we have this week. Our show on Saturday. We're going to be getting into probably the big championship games. This weekend's going to be some big money being spent. There's still XFL out there, and they've pushed back a couple of NFL stuff. So, and then NBA, if there's anything out there, we'll have it on Saturday for you. And then next week, maybe we'll fill out a live bracket on air, maybe do another Tuesday podcast because the tournament begins on Thursday. We can drop it Wednesday and have everyone ready to go.
Sounds good.
All right, he is Dan Lifshatz at Dan_Lifshatz. I'm on Twitter at Joey Murr. Dan has been posting all our picks at over/under 985. And you can hear us Thursday morning with Toucher and Rich at 7 a.m. here in Boston on 985 The Sports Hub, and our very own show on 985 The Sports Hub as well. And for those who listen to us not in the Boston area, download the app. 985thesportshub.com app, and just tap that app at 7 a.m. and you can listen to us live and you can call in directly to the show. So, he's Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of Over Under 985.
You got
be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.